I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
And we're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives Radio Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And we're also the pair that created what, Bill McKenna?
The Cogno Movement System.
Yeah, we sure did. So we're so happy to be here with everyone on UK Health Radio and everyone else around the world. And we had a talk, Bill and I were always chatting with each other about how to rewire not only your brain, but your subconscious. And there's an argument even that we're rewiring your consciousness. So it's a very interesting subject. We wanted to share with you guys really the why this is possible quickly. So let's start, Bill, with a lot of people in a lot of different modalities, including things like yoga, meditation, and other things, talk about rewiring your brain, but it's often with a lot of repetition, days, weeks, months, 10,000 hours to rewire your brain. And our argument is that it can be done almost instantly. So let's start talking about that. What is it that's different about what we do? Why is it possible to do it quickly? And why do other people say it takes so long?
Okay. Well, gosh, this is, such an interesting subject. And, things we wish we knew 50 years ago, right, would have created a whole different life experience for ourselves. So I think to kind of set the backdrop so that everybody's on the same page, the subconscious controls 95% of what is going on in our lives. If you want to know what's in your subconscious, simply look at your life. Am I fabulously wealthy? Am I in shape? Am I eating foods that are healthy for me? Whatever it is, are my friendships like filled with fun and joy and closeness, or do I find myself estranged repeatedly? Whatever is going on in your life, especially if it's a repetitive cycle. Maybe it's boom bust in different aspects of life. Or if life has felt like a struggle, like I need to work hard to make any progress, or I have to fight for love, or I have to fight for the affection and the love of somebody else, or fill in the blank for yourself. Whatever is going on in our lives, that is rooted in our subconscious. So the old method that Liz was talking about is how I grew up. Repetition, right? And the way they stated it was repetition is the mother of learning. That I grew up with that. Now, that certainly is one way. For example, martial arts, right? You do the exact same move 10,000 times, and now you become an expert at that one move. Everybody is probably, at least in the United States, there was a movie back in the 80s called Karate Kid, right? A wax on, wax off, wax on, Daniel-san, wax on, wax off. So he was taught through repetition of waxing a car or painting a fence, different moves that he did repeatedly until the point that they became automatic. And what Liz brought out is these automatic responses. Now, one of the things that we know today is that the subconscious has a dirty little secret. And that is that it uses our physical body's neurological system to express itself, to get you to do what it wants you to do. Oh my God, how does that work? Well, I got a feeling. I got a feeling. And it happens so fast and so subtly with this feeling, like maybe that feeling, if you think about it for you, like, oh, don't approach those people. They're going to judge you. Or I want to approach that potential person to date, but oh my God, they're too good looking. Oh, no. That's not going to go well. That's out of your league. Or maybe you're in sales and your business prospect. Don't call them. That's going to, you know, don't say this to them. You know, whatever it might be, you get a feeling and then you act according to the feeling. So Liz, tell us that. I just wanted to set the stage there. Hopefully everybody, that helps everybody to get onto the page. 5% of our lives are controlled by the conscious. Like I'm actively making my decision, but what's the next step there, Liz?
Well, I actually want to add to what you were saying, Bill. The subconscious, in our language, we really say the nervous system is the subconscious. But it's one of those things that does control things that we don't think about. They just are who we are. So our values is one of those. We think that our values are something that is learned, and that's true. But many times it's passed down through our genes as well and experiences. So our subconscious handles our value system. So if you think about it for yourself, what's most important to you? Sometimes we call these our morals even. And like if we're a person who thinks we have very high moral standards and we see someone that we believe doesn't, we just cannot understand how in the world that person makes those choices. But they really are our automatic responses, our drivers. So if you think about the things even that you like, foods, for example, what's your favorite food? Any idea why? It even comes down to who we choose as a mate. If you think about your partner, Bill and I have had this conversation, it's kind of a funny thing. You think, well, why that person? Specifically, what was it about them that all of a sudden your eyes and your body said, yeah, they're it, right? Why does a person find a blonde more attractive than a brunette or vice versa? Why is a person attracted to a tall person versus a short person? We can say it's society, and that may be true, but it's really an internal driver. There's something in our body that says, yes, right?
Right.
Right. Our belief systems, even things like our religions, what we're attracted to in terms of spirituality and consciousness. If you think about it, why? Why do you like that idea? Religious people don't realize, but when they think about their religion, they think about their faith, there's a specific feeling in the body that goes with that. You would call it a driver. Politically, it's the same. There's something about that that finds a match to your nervous system, to your nerves, to your feeling that the body says, yes, I like it. So these are the things we're talking about. And they're all the things that add up to the life we live right now that keep us in a very specific lane. And what you were saying about learning is so true. Our current way of learning is this slow repetition. Have you ever heard the 10,000 hours? Part of that is, you know, experience. But a big part of it is kind of hammering it into the body. And the truth is that the brain actually doesn't like to learn in repetition. The brain loves new, novel experience. And once you have seen it, once you've got it, you really don't need the repetition, but we have a belief that we do. What Bill and I discovered is that there's a way to train the body right now to do what it needs to do without repetition. There's a way to train the brain right now without the need for repetition. There's a way to change the consciousness, nervous system, or internal driver. Guess what? Without repetition. It's very, very quick. And there's a mechanism to it. So that's kind of what we wanted to talk about today is why. Why do we think that repetition was instituted for learning? How did we get away from being able to just see something and know how to do it? Why did we get away from, why is it so slow? Why did our consciousness, our nervous system, our subconscious become so slow at taking on information and changing? And really, is that the future as well? What do you think, Bill?
I can't wait for the next part of this this episode here on UK Health Radio. This is a fascinating subject because we're talking about super learning. And super learning in all aspects of life, whether it's relationship, athletics, whether it is academic. Let's take a quick break and we'll let UK Health Radio have a word from our sponsors. Take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back and we're talking about super learning, about the need for repetition or not, and how it's possible to change not only learning, but consciousness, cognition, automatic drivers, the things that push us forward in life. Movement. How is it possible to make it really, really, really fast? You said something, Bill, before the break, relationships. Now, this is an interesting one because in psychology, we believe that we had to talk about our problems, right? Rehash them, get them out. And over time, I think maybe there's a belief that you would become desensitized to it, or have an epiphany, or get to the point where you let the relationship go. But in cognitive movement, the work that Bill and I do, we discovered that relationships could be changed literally in the blink of an eye by changing only one person in the relationship. So let's talk about that a little bit, Bill. How in the world could that even be possible?
Well, it seems impossible. If you're listening to this on this, you might be like, what the heck? That doesn't sound possible. But it really is. So when we, let's take something for example, jealousy, right? If you're somebody who has either been on either side of jealousy, that doesn't feel good. I mean, you know, not only doesn't it feel good to feel jealous, but it also, I'm not talking about the, that just that little bit, you know, like just a very little bit of spice where they're like, hey, that's my man, or, you know, that's my girl or whatever. Not that. I'm talking about screw you, you know, and really, really aggravated jealousy. Well, what that does, right, is it makes everybody afraid, right? You're hyper alert. You're afraid. Don't look over there because they might get jealous. You know, you know, there's a lot of misinterpretation. And also, like, it doesn't feel good on the other side of it. So imagine for a second, like, let's say you've got one partner in the relationship that is holding the cycle of jealousy. You can fill in the blank, call it anger, fear, resentment, shame, whatever, feeling judged, whatever the loop is. What happens is that it pushes away the partner. So any sort of thing that is rooted in fear divides a relationship. It creates distance. And anything that comes closer to a derivative of love, meaning compassion, understanding, right? These things will bring someone closer together. Vulnerability met with compassion.
All right. So, Bill, let's get into the mechanism, though. Everything you're saying is accurate. But there is a mechanism. There is something different that people need to know. So in the past, you would go to someone or you talk to a friend and they would try to help you change your brain. You know, change the way you think. If you could just feel more compassionate, if you could just see a new perspective. But trying to change a mind that is set, it's like fighting with a toddler or a terrorist. I mean, you might as well give up. But there is a way to change the way the body runs around a subject. So we have to do is go back to basics. We have to change the way we think about how thinking actually happens. What's the mechanism? The mechanism is that the body has a certain feeling that the limbic system creates. The limbic system is the part of the brain body responsible for keeping us safe, keeping us alive. It's our automatic response to things like a lion on your butt, you know, or getting out of the way of a bus coming your direction. It's responsible for that. But what people don't know is it's also responsible for all of our everyday reactions. So how is that created? The body, you know, has an automated response, a signal that has to react right now to whatever the stimulus is. So if it's jealousy, the body has a feeling and it sends an electromagnetic hormonal and chemical current to the brain. Now the brain's the processor. It goes, wait a minute, I know that set of feelings. That's trouble. Or I know that set of feelings. I think that's love. May not be, but you think it is. So then the brain says, okay, yes, problem or not problem, and sends a signal back down to the body to say, okay, either run like hell or you can hang around because it's safe. Then the body sends another signal back to the brain and round it goes. But what does an electromagnetic current that goes round and round, what does that create, Bill McKenna?
So it's so interesting, right? What you're talking about, when this field, right, this electromagnetic field is also coupled with a chemical, you release actual chemicals that are picked up by others. Now, you've heard of a dog smelling fear, right? Now, the best way to describe this is, let's say you're in the grocery store, right? And you're walking down an aisle or wherever. You're like, oh, them. Oh, you know, you can feel it. You walk by people, you probably can sense either anger or fear or despair, right? They're not saying anything to you. And this goes beyond their posture. You can literally just feel it. Your systems, just like an animal, can pick up on the electromagnetic feelings that are coming from the person and the chemical. You know, they, predators, are basically pick up on this in the animal kingdom and here, you know, in with us too, right? How do they choose their victim? Well, this cycle, right, is picked up by in a relationship by the other person, and it marries up to their electromagnetic system. So we both have it. We both have it, and it finds a match in their field, their electromagnetic field as well. Our bodies are literally a battery. It's electric.
It's so true. We think we're functioning on our own system, that we're very a closed circuit internally, and we just aren't. And we know this for sure by exactly what Bill was talking about. We now know that an animal, for a person who has seizures, the animal can detect the seizure coming long before the person having the seizure knows they're having it. The same with diabetes or other issues. So how is that possible, that animal can pick up on an internal system inside your body, exactly what we're talking about? I think the misunderstanding has been that we as humans don't pick it up as well, and we absolutely do. And we're running into each other's electromagnetic field, which HeartMath Institute says in a healthy person is about 6 to 8 feet. But not only that, they're hormonal and chemical signals. If you come in hot and you've got cortisol in your field, a person who knows you and is very familiar with what you feel like as you walk in a room, they will detect instantly there is something wrong. You ever be with your spouse and you're in the car and all of a sudden you have a thought and they're like, what's wrong? And you're like, how about you mind your own business? Like, I just had a thought. How do they know? Are they psychic? Well, actually, kind of, yes. But it's not your brain. It's your field, your hormones, your chemicals. You're constantly interacting. And in a close relationship, you have a culture that is created by those matches and mismatches. And if you find yourself constantly fighting with someone or having hard feelings, you know what that feels like. It feels like running up against a wall. And in many ways, you are. You're running up against something that they're pushing back at you and you're pushing back at them. And it runs and runs and runs and you can't figure out why. So how is it changed, Bill? And how can it be changed quickly without this need to, for long drawn out conversations, apologies, you know, how can it be changed so quickly? And everyone who's listening, we've seen it changed instantly. And we are talking about lifelong problems. So why is that possible, Bill?
So remember in the conversation, we were just talking about, we have both have these electromagnetic fields. And I do this and you do that, right? There's a loop going on. Well, that loop turns out there is some sort of glitch in my neurological system, right? The definition of a neurological system is that it is the carrier of an electrical charge. That's what the neurological system does. It transmits electrical charges up and down and throughout the body. So, in very simplistic terms, imagine if that you pruned that useless neurological connection or made a better, more profitable neurological connection within your system. You basically cleaned up that glitch in the circuit. Well, wouldn't that emanate out into your field? This electrical field around you. And wouldn't you produce a different chemical? Everybody here has had some strong emotion. You know, you've got your go-to dance move: anger, fear, worry, jealousy, resentment, shame, sadness, depression. Whatever that is, that's your signature dance move, shall we say. And imagine if that circuit in your body wasn't misbehaving, and now you're going to be absent the feeling, which is absent the chemical. You produce different hormonal chemicals, which emanate out into your field. So ultimately, what happens is the person on the other side, you're no longer transmitting the signal anymore. It's like, there's no more connection here on that issue. It's just gone. And when this happens, and the issue is gone in the other person, there's nothing to cling on to in the other. And what happens is the most bizarre of consequences. And when I say bizarre, on a weekly basis, we hear the same story. You know, put a different name in, fill in the names, you know, Sally and Michael, you know, whoever, son and daughter, father and son. And the story goes something like this. The person, let's say a parent or the child, has a estranged or strained relationship with their relative. And they do a cognomovement session where the neurological connection is cleaned up, right? And within the session, or immediately after the session, what ends up happening is the phone rings. Literally, I tell people now, hey, turn off your ringer and stow the phone, because we're going to get through this without having the interruption. And the reason being is because the other person feels the release, and it sounds bizarre, and they start calling. And they're like, the conversation goes something like, hey, you know, I know that for the past 40 years that I may have done some things to hurt you. It just occurred to me. And I am so sorry. Like, it's so crazy. Think about it. You know, that we've had ones that are the child thinks their parent's a narcissist, and they've got all the evidence lined up to support it. And they collapse that story inside themselves. And all of a sudden, they have epiphanies that, you know what? My mother actually did love me. She does love me. And she is expressing it in a different way than I could accept. And now I see it. And then here it comes, the phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Bill's not exaggerating. You can almost expect that text or the phone call during a session. I would say nearly half the time, the person during the session, immediately when that pattern is collapsed in their system. So our technique, cognomovement, literally collapses the pattern in the body between, remember I said that between the body and the brain, sending a signal back and forth, creating a field. We simply show the body how to shut that off very, very quickly. The minute it collapses, there is a ding on the text. And what is coming back is this wave of love. It's very often, I really think you're an amazing human. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. And that text may have never come ever in their whole life. Those words may have never come out of the relationship like that. But we had one in our Cognitive Movement family recently that was so precious. Bill was working with a little guy, a little guy, kindergartner, who has autism. And his buddies in school, they didn't really want to hang out with him, did they, Bill?
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. My gosh. You know, I got to show you everybody. I'm going to see if I can't pull this up.
Because... Well, now, remember, we're on radio, so you got to describe it to everybody.
Okay, I'm going to describe this to you. So there is a person that I know that, you know, was on the spectrum. And the interesting thing about being on the spectrum is that relationships can be difficult. When I say difficult, I mean that they basically have challenges because of the way that they, you know, that they feel. They have to have things a certain way, and because of that, other children have, you know, like, no, these are my blocks or my crayons, and no one else gets to touch them. You know, I have to have things a certain way. Well, once that situation starts to get released, what happens is then, you know, the kids, right? If I don't have a lot of those kind of glitches where it's got to be this way, then the other kids can start to love and appreciate. So this particular one that I'm going to show, you'll see this on YouTube, but all of the children, their response to the little boy coming in, there are, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 classmates, and they're all like kindergartners, and they're all fluttered around hugging you. It's unbelievable to watch.
Well, tell everybody what was happening before, though, Bill. In his classroom, the kids really didn't want to be around him, right?
They did not. Matter of fact, there were things were, you know, getting kind of feisty, right? It's like, no, I don't like him. And, you know, there were, you know, hostile words, right? That were going on there. You know, the teachers had to step in and like, hey, don't do that to him. You know, the boy that was on the spectrum, they had to come to his defense. And so anyway, it all melted away. And with that, with his neurological system not firing that it has to be this way, it has to be this way, that all melted away. And so now all the kids were gathering around hugging like, oh my God, he's here. And so hopefully you'll at least hear this. It's amazing. Here we go.
He said they couldn't wait for me. And what we're seeing is a little boy just being mobbed by kids hugging, and they were waiting for him.
They're waiting
to arrive at school. But the thing about this, Bill, is you weren't working with him on friendships, right? You were working with him on little behavioral, actually trying to get his brain a little more harmonized, right?
That's it. We were just doing cognitive movement exercises for the brain and his body. And that is it. The side effect is relationship. So that is how it works. We're not trying to say, hey, stop that. You know how well that goes over with any kid, much less one on the spectrum? You know, it's like, huh? What? You know, it's very difficult. So approaching it straight up from the neurological perspective with these exercises, these cognitive movement exercises, you can get the neurological system to release. Anyway, we are a little late for our break with UK Health Radio. Take it away.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. So let's talk just a little bit more about how this is possible. So we were talking to you guys about this field that's created, but it's not just electromagnetic. It's hormonal. It's chemical. We can sense each other's cortisol. We can also sense the mass, the actual feeling of other people around us. Notice if you've ever gone to the grocery store irritated. Have you ever done this? And, you know, you're kind of fighting in your mind with somebody else. And the next thing you know, there a fight breaks out next to you. The two people in line next to you, they start arguing with each other. Or, dang it, if every last person you run into isn't some kind of a jerk, you're cut off in traffic, you're cut off. So why is that? It's that everyone around you is influenced by this emotion. I always think it's funny after a cognitive movement session when I'm the practitioner. If I go to the grocery store after, oftentimes people will say, oh my gosh, you're glowing. Or wow, you look so beautiful today. And I just look like myself. But my system is emanating this very calm, you know, accepting, loving state. And everyone around me, every stranger around me is affected by it. Now, it's not just because I have a magnetic personality. It's that the signal is strong enough that even people I don't know bump into it and think, oh, you know, that feels pretty good. So the how is simple. Bill and I learned that the subconscious is accessible through any point that the nervous system extends to the edges of the body and or through the eyes, which is the other end. We can access the brain. I say the files of the brain, but it's literally the place cells in the brain that hold memory, or one end of the nervous system, the receptor for processing information. We can access that through the eyes. So wherever we can access the way that the body is handling a very specific response, a belief, a pattern, an automated response, an idea, a feeling, any way that we can get the body to recreate that sensation, we can also very quickly teach the body to turn that off. And how we do it is ridiculously simple. We just let the nervous system know that it's safe. It's safe. It no longer has to react with fight or flight. Fight or flight is the most base reaction that our body has because it keeps us safe. We learn, don't touch the hot stove. Don't walk out in front of traffic. You know, don't stab yourself in the eye with a knife. We learn these as we're growing. In fact, even a fetus in the womb learns these things. So if we can access that very base interaction with the world and teach the nervous system very quickly with some very simple tools that we have, okay, no, that's safe. Then what the body does with it, and it's the whole body, it's not just the brain, and that's what's the revolutionary idea. The whole body simply lets go of that pattern because it knows it's wasted energy. Oh, we don't have to be afraid of that. We don't have to fight. We don't have to run. Okay, it lets that go. And it lets go of sending energy to that pattern. It's exactly like deleting a program from a computer. Once you delete a program from a computer, it doesn't keep looking for it. It doesn't keep trying to run it. It's just gone. So the driver's deleted. And like our little kindergartner that Bill was working with, harmonizing the brain and the body does exactly that. It tones down that fight or flight response. It teaches the body instantly, not through repetition, but instantly, oh, you don't have to be in fear over that. You don't have to send energy to that. And that cyclical pattern that creates a field, brain, body, brain, body, brain, body, it's just gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's dissolved. So in his little case, the signal that was sending out, maybe you should stay away from me, maybe you might hurt me, maybe you might make me uncomfortable, it was gone instantly. And his little classmates felt it over a distance. Somehow their little fields knew, hey, we love him, actually. Let's wait for him and mob hug him. The other thing that I find fascinating about this, Bill, is that this little guy, he's on the spectrum. Many of them don't like to be touched. They don't want to be in close proximity with people. Sometimes it even hurts them. He was so receptive. Right. That mob hug, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was one, and they were lined up around him, like, give me space. Everybody was like hugging him. Like, you could feel the, you know, you can't tell a little kid that age, you know, kindergartner, go do that, you know. They all just ran up, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. You know, it was so great to, you know, as I say, how would you like that to be the start of your day where you're getting mob hugged? Like, oh my God, I'm so happy to see you, Liz. Oh, it's Liz is here. Yeah. I mean, how would that start your day? You know?
Right.
Right. Well,
you know, and I want everybody to think about that. How does that resonate throughout the school, for one? Now, that teacher is not having to worry and be upset about whether or not the little guy's going to be okay, you know? And then the love of that, if you could see the video, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it. But on radio, the love of it, it just emanates. That teacher's going to go home and have a better day. Those kids are going to go home and be better with their parents. The school likely felt a huge sigh of relief that day. It's amazing. We always say when one person has this ability to change their body, turn off fight or flight around a big subject, when one person has a cognitive movement session, which relieves a lifelong trauma, it changes about 1,000 people. Because we have that much influence, we interact with everyone around us constantly. And this new sweetness that emanates into the field changes everything. But it doesn't just change the relationship. It changes the way your mind works. So your thinking is more clear. Creativity goes through the roof. I mean, ideas, inspiration. Because the body really has the energy now for all those things that were always there, everything is sharper, crisper. People say that colors look differently. Visions sometimes better, right? Some people's psychic abilities go through the roof. Sleep is better. I mean, the list goes on and on. Focus is better. Overall mood is better. And these are all side effects of very, very, very quickly teaching the body, the nervous system between the brain and the body, to no longer be in a fight or flight situation. So we just have a few minutes left, Bill, but I want everybody to have just a really simple, basic experience of this. Would you give everybody just a taste of what it would be like to feel in their body and then have a little bit of a relief from it?
Okay, so here's a simple technique. Just see if this feeling changes at all. I want you to simply think about someone in your life that's maybe a challenge. And what you're going to do is you're going to pull both ears forward, kind of like Dumbo, flop both ears over. You take your hands and pull both ears forward. And then what you're going to do is you're going to look down, keep your head straight and level, and look down at the floor. Move your eyes left and right. Think about the person and move your eyes left and right. Across the floor, and you're going to move the eyes a little bit higher, like just a little nanometer higher and a nanometer higher. You're focused on the person, and then you're going to move it just a little higher. You feel how you feel about that person, and you're going to move them a little bit higher. All the way left, all the way right. Move them a little higher, all the way left, all the way right. And now you're going to move them all the way up, all the way up across the ceiling from left to right across the ceiling. Breathe as you go. And as you're here across the ceiling, is there any new idea that comes? If you move slowly, that's the best. Any new idea as you're running across the ceiling? Something that you just hadn't yet considered. Breathe as you go. Breathe across the ceiling from left to right. And let go of your ears. Close your eyes.
So everybody, that was literally, 2 minutes. And if you didn't catch it, rewind and do it again. But if you really want to experience this in a deeper way, go to Cogno Movement, C-O-G-N-O, and the word movement, on YouTube. And you will find there replays of what's called Cogno Hour, and they're little mini sessions, about 20 minutes, where you could actually experience this in full and have one of these changes for yourself. It is astonishing what can happen in that very, very short time. And we'd love for everybody out there to have this experience of changing something that's a real driver in your life that has you reacting in an automated way that isn't so resourceful. Once you experience it even one time, our hope is that it will change forever. Your understanding about how your body, your system, how your life works, and how your interactions work with everything around you. For Bill and I, when this first started to emerge, these what we called side effects of our work in the beginning, it revolutionized the way we think about every interaction with everything on the planet and in our lives. So if you're in the place of thinking you've got to do things in a repetitive way to learn, you've got to do things in a repetitive way to unlearn, you've got to do things in a repetitive way to move or change your body, Bill and I would like to help you change that idea. And the best way to learn something is through experience. And it can be instant. I think that's the moral of the story for us today. So cognomovement.com is our website. Cognomovement on YouTube is where you can go to really have some experiences, or Cogno Movement on Facebook. Go to videos. When you go to Facebook, go to the tab that says videos, and you can find a lot of ways to actually experience this. Bill and I also teach practitioners. So if you're somebody out there who's thinking, man, this would work amazing in my field, this would work amazing with the people I work with already, we'd love to talk to you about joining the Cogno Movement family and learning this technique.
Thank you all for joining today. Free books at cognomovement.com. Suffering is optional. And the Tiny Book of Big Manifesting. All right. Thank you all. Thank you, Liz. And
we'll see everybody next week. Be safe and be well.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information, or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.